You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We're pleased to announce that this season the Spurs Show is sponsored by Greene King Sport, where football is more than a game. Greene King Sport venues are showing every single televised Spurs fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter whether you're based in Tottenham or Tyneside, you can catch every single minute of the action. Keep an eye out during the season for events, offers, content and competitions that put you closer to the action. Welcome to the Spurs Show. I'm Mike Lee. If you're one of our new listeners, we're the longest running Tottenham Hotspur podcast, now in our 17th season. We tend to invite writers of the beautiful game, along with showbiz fans, many ex-players, and tonight, many long-suffering fans who follow the team home and away for many years, so we can give a bit of a historical context to the ups and downs of supporting our beloved Lily Whites. And lifelong Spurs fans join me tonight. Darren Rockman was a non-executive director in the early days of Enix and knows the mindset of Daniel Levy very well. And Robert Easton is a UEFA coach currently working in Saudi Arabia, and both have watched our club well over 1,000 times each home and away. Previous shows, they've had some massive disagreements, and pretty much as a microcosm of the often fractured relationship between Spurs fans, largely cited in the past as your are you pro or anti Levy, a simplistic term given in fairness on social media fan groups. All Spurs fans want success and lots of great football and trophies, but what is the real cost of that? Do you just throw money at the team, or is there another way to achieve success? This week has been the usual concerns of the international break, and again we get an injury, but hopefully the severity of the one that Christian Romero has sustained is pretty minor. James Maddison was played out of his best position by Gareth Southgate, but it was two old Spurs boys who got the equaliser, with Kane supplying Kyle Walker. Tonight, we'll look ahead to our clash at the weekend with Sheffield United, discuss the tactics of Ange Postecoglou, and chatting about the wider ambitions of our owners, Enoch, with a backdrop of rumours that the Manchester United club sell is off, as their owners deem £5 billion not enough to sell. Good evening, Robert. Good evening, Darren.
Good evening. Is Darren still Jose Mourinho's PR agent, or is he...
You're still Conte in, are you?
Here we go. We barely started and they're starting already. Gentlemen, let's start. Obviously, this week, and as we record this, it's still the international break. Obviously, we've had the Romero injury scare, which we always get one injury, or certainly injury scare during this time. We've had the scenes of Richarlison crying coming off from Brazil, desperate to do well this season. And then we've had this weird kind of social media spat. Harry Kane, I thought, gave a pretty open interview in Germany. A lot of Spurs fans had jumped on him and called him a turncoat for daring to say that Bayern Munich maybe is a bit more of a professional club who expect wins more than Tottenham Hotspur. Robert, how are you doing? Tell the listeners what you're doing in Saudi Arabia to start with.
Well, as you know, there's a lot of interest over here now with players coming over left, right and centre, all getting paid huge money. So I'm very surprised Harry didn't come here, if I'm honest.
Really? Well,
the type of money on offer. I mean, it's... and the type of players that are coming. I mean, you know, there's top Premier League players coming. It's not just players at the end of their career. I mean, you know, there's players at their peak. And, of course, it's money is going to draw that kind of attention. But having been here now for a few weeks, I can tell you it's a serious operation. I mean, the football is serious here. It's the stadiums are being built. The infrastructure is there. And ultimately, you know, they're looking to now build grassroots football, and it will be here for a very long time.
Well, you say grassroots football, though, but I don't know. How big is Saudi football? Is there lots of kids playing football over there?
Yeah, there's a lot of kids playing football at a low level. I mean, you know, that part of their infrastructure has not yet happened, and this is why people like myself are being asked to come over. You know, as you know, I had a lot of success in America with it, and actually feels a little bit like the start of the MLS, you know, when that became popular. So ultimately here, they're going to, it's a region rich with a lot of sports activity. I mean, they're looking to draw a lot of attention. They want boxing here. They want Formula One here. They want football here. And you can't just keep buying your way out of it, although the Saudis probably could. they are seriously looking at trying to now bring in, you know, younger players and develop under 23 squads and academies and stuff like that. So, and women's football, of course, you know, which over here is, it's, you know, again, it's a brand new format.
Mm. Moving on to Tottenham, Darren, you were leading at the top about Conte and all that. What are your current feelings about the new coach and the way we've started playing? You must be delighted now with the style changing.
It's great because we're going forward. I think, joking aside, we've had, ever since Pochettino left, we've had a few years of pretty turgid football. And we didn't even couple that by winning anything, which might have made it slightly bearable. I mean, I have to say, there were points of last season. I now take my nine-year-old to every game. He loves it, loves it, loves it. And I remember one particular game, we're playing Crystal Palace, and with 20 minutes to go, he said, "Dad, this is so boring," and he wanted to go. And that's what Tottenham were becoming. So far, so good. You know, sometimes in football, it's better to be lucky than good. And I don't think even the... a staunchest supporter of the board of directors could honestly say that Ange Postecoglou was Tottenham's first choice. But so far, so good. And from what I hear around the club, he's great around the club. The players like him. The acid test will probably come in two of our next three games, to be quite honest with you. And then we'll see. You know what Spurs fans are like. One minute he's the greatest manager in the world, and the next three games, he could be in the Christmas edition of Neighbours. So, you know, anything can happen.
Well, don't hold your breath, of course. I mean, we're already out of the League Cup. A disaster, in my eyes.
It's not often I agree with you, Robert. I agree with you.
I mean, you know, he's beaten Bournemouth, he's beaten Burnley. Let's not get overexcited. I mean, look, I don't know what your son's done so wrong for you to be taking him every week. I mean, the poor lad. I mean, honestly, come on, Darren. I mean, my father did it to me. Look how I turned out a wreck. I mean, you know, it's. Listen, I hope
the style of football, Rob. Okay,
the style of football.
The style of football.
The style of football, and
from,
of course,
from where we were. I mean, he's got a tweak here and
but
there.
Where we were was Champions League football. The first year Conte came. Conte came and we were in the Champions League, okay? Mm. I don't know where everyone thinks it was such a disaster. We were in the Champions League, top four, okay? Which is like you win, in this day and age, it's like you win something, okay? In fact, if they gave you a trophy in the top four, we'd be winning a lot of trophies. And the second season, of course, he never got to finish it. Had he have stayed, possibly could have nicked a top four, all right? We weren't a million miles away when he left. But unfortunately, it went completely south. Listen, I'm with Darren on it. I mean, I've brought my own children to Spurs, and, you know, you want to go with a good atmosphere and a good, exciting things. There's nothing better than to take your son to football and for him to come away excited and enjoying it. But this is early days. I mean, the football's better, but results are out of the League Cup, And it looks like a very good first 11. But maybe once you start bringing in the Sanchez's and et cetera and start...
Yeah, well, obviously he's gone now, Sanchez, but I know what you mean.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know,
yeah, that ilk. Darren, what you're hearing around the ground. What are you hearing? Obviously, the other area that, again, has been neglected and has been a bit of a cock-up was this Scott Munn, who now we believe is starting his work after the international break. No director of football as well, presuming that's Scott Munn's first job. It sounds like to us Spurs fans, it's sort of Daniel Levy back in the helm again, doing the transfer deals, trying to shift players. Obviously, Sanchez is gone and Dembele's gone again on loan. What are you hearing on that side of things at the moment?
To be quite honest, I'm not really hearing that much. I'm just hearing that the atmosphere around the club, around the training ground, is completely, completely opposite to how it was in that final season under Conte. And, you know, a lot of what Conte said in his interview, that now infamous interview, is probably right. The only one person Conte never, ever blamed for anything was himself. And the only thing I will tell you is in all the years as a Spurs fan, that was the worst football I have ever seen.
Wow, you've been going a long time.
That includes Robbie Williams, mate, Christian Gross.
Yeah. You know, well, we've got go back to the games coming up, Rob. Obviously, we've got this weekend Sheffield United, who I think they've nicked a couple of points here and there at the moment. One of those sort of teams that we kind of in the past kind of struggled against. You know they're going to put men behind the ball, try and break us down. But what have you seen about the style of football? I mean, I mentioned before that it's not like his tweets. There's been massive changes there. You've been very excited about the sort of inverted fullbacks bombing in, haven't you?
Well, it's movement. I think that's what Darren's probably alluding to. I mean, it was a bit stagnant under
Conte,
wasn't it? You know, it was bodies
had
not
their positions, allowed
to go out.
That was it.
Yeah, not allowed to make runs forward and, you know, keeping defensively compact. Whereas this is allowing fullbacks to, kind of Guardiola style, you know, move into different positions, midfield areas, like Zinchenko gets into midfield areas for Arsenal. I mean, they're creating more space and there is more movement up front and that's more pleasant on the eye and more difficult to defend, of course. You know, the bottom line is, though, is that football isn't, there is no kind of new success formula. You know, it's been pretty much tried and tested. You start running out of position and you start creating space and making runs. If the ball breaks down, you're now defensively weak. And one thing I've noticed is that we are creating more chances. We're scoring lots of goals. We're creating more space. But teams are getting to our goal quite easily. I mean, we lost, we won 2-0, got to our goal in the first half about 8-9 times.
Yeah, no. It's got a little bit better. I think you're absolutely right. I did see that as well. And I'm look, the guy's barely been there. He's coming again. He doesn't know anyone. He's at a transfer window. Big Tottenham players have gone. Big Tottenham players are now pretty much look like not going to play again for Tottenham. New players have come in. And what's been interesting, Darren, is with the players coming in, James Maddison being the prime example, they've clicked and clicked immediately. I mean, you know, we all remember great Tottenham players over the years, Darren, who take a while to bed in. Maddison looks like a typical Tottenham player and it looks like he's clicked very early, isn't he?
Yeah, well, it's not. You know, sometimes these managers try and make things so complicated. James Maddison playing in his right position. Look at Yves Bissouma. That God knows where Conte was trying to play him in his right position. Gareth Southgate sticks James Maddison in the wrong position for England, and he has a stinker. I don't understand why they have. It's almost like they have to justify themselves by trying to be too clever sometimes. Play the right players in the right position, and I agree with Robert. Unfortunately, in that Carabao Cup. Play your best 11 players. When he comes out and says in an interview, I wanted to see some of the players. Well, mate, I've watched him for 2 years. And anybody who unfortunately lets a player with very little confidence like Davinson Sanchez take a penalty, 9 out of 10 Spurs fans would tell you he was going to miss that. So yeah. I think it's great. I think the football's better. He's playing players in the right position, which is what you should do. Listen, made a mistake with the Carabao Cup. You know, if we'd have won on penalties, it wouldn't have been a mistake. But at the end of the day, we didn't, so it was.
Yeah, I mean, Rob, you obviously we've got United, but as Darren alluded to, we've got the test. I think it's Man City and Arsenal the next two games.
Liverpool.
Is that right? Liverpool and Arsenal. Arsenal away, always a tough place anyway. You know they're going to come at us. That's going to be a very fascinating game now, the way we play.
Yeah, it looks like at this point it'll be a bit of a shootout. I don't think he's under too much pressure with that. I mean, I think actually this weekend he's probably under a bit more pressure because this is a game that we're expected to win, and we have to win, because if we don't, then those Arsenal Liverpool games become more of an issue. So you go and pick up the 3 points against Sheffield United. We're rooted in the top four, and if if Arsenal were to get a result, whatever, it's not the end of the world. You know, I mean, they're in one of the best sides in the league. So it's less pressure, in which I think if he wins this weekend, then he gets a kind of free roll of the dice against Arsenal. He can afford to be a little bit more flamboyant and see what happens. And Liverpool home is another set of circumstances away down the road. I think talk about that nearer the time. I think you don't have to think about Liverpool right now. Albeit they could be a little bit inconsistent themselves at times, so we'll see. But the one thing I'll say is, going back to your keeping it simple, Darren was talking about, was, you know, if you look at those great teams, Brian Clough and Ferguson, and you know, it really, and even like the Bob Paisley days in Liverpool and stuff, those great teams did keep it quite simple. I mean, you know, they were obviously limited with the squads they had, and players. You know, the formations were fairly consistent. I think, like, all this rotation thing in football, I don't think it's ever worked for Spurs, has it? I mean, it's, you know, I think if we keep a solid team playing every week, I'd prefer to see that. And obviously, alluding to what Darren said, all those great teams, you know, you read about the history of them and how things worked. And the tea lady was happy. The kit man was happy. The dressing room was happy. The training ground was happy. So I do think at the moment, for me, I don't want to be a grouch, but listen, I am. So the jury's out until we start playing some serious opposition. I know Man United were a good side, but it seems like a few people can beat them at the moment. And I think the next period's going to tell us a lot more.
Yeah, I mean, most level-headed fans, most pundits and coaches will go, you look at your first 10 games, then you assess after 10 games. Let's go to a very, very quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about the squad, if we think Enoch are doing enough. They've obviously had a lot of criticism recently with hiking ticket prices and maybe not adding that centre-back that we wanted. Back in 2 minutes. And we're back from the break. Don't forget, for premium content, including a daily news show, ex-player interviews, original documentary series on Spurs, go to patreon.com/Spurs Show and support our show in the process. We've got some brand new Spurs Show merchandise, brand new t-shirt designs. There's a new sort of Aussie one with a kangaroo instead of the cockerel, the ball. Lots of ones there. The link is in the description to the podcast. Click there. Look at our wonderful t-shirts. Our monthly London live shows return this month, Wednesday, September the 27th. Gary Mabbutt joins us. All you have to do to get a season ticket, which I think is like a tenner a month, you and a mate get into every single monthly event, go to season.spursshow.net. And also look at the link in the description. We've got a handful of just tickets just for that event only. So go and check them out. We've got Martin Lipton as well with us, Gary Mabbutt, obviously. Boy, that man knows Tottenham. Still an ambassador at the club. And finally, follow us on our social media, Facebook page, X and Instagram. And if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, please just tap in and leave us a nice review. That always helps. Darren, you talked about the atmosphere being better, and obviously you've obviously worked with and around Enoch and know them all for very well. Were you kind of a bit surprised when they froze season ticket prices but then bumped up match day tickets? And were you surprised in this pre-season that, again, more players maybe weren't moved out, and maybe a couple more people came in before the end of the transfer window?
I don't know. The cynical side of me might think that they bowed to fan pressure by not increasing season ticket prices.
Right.
They increased the prices of the premium seats, because those renewals went out early. They go out early. And I think they may, but I think it was getting to the stage that that could have been the final straw. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. But that, that was my view on it. Match day ticket prices. I don't know. I mean, it's getting into the stage now where the vast majority of people have to think about, you know, we're fortunate. Well, we're not fortunate. We've only got 38 games this season. So it's not like fans are going to be having to pay for 25 or 30 home games. But it's getting to the stage now that you're starting to price out your average fan. You know,
I think more than your average fan.
Yeah. But, you know, you talk about you've got kids who want Spurs kits.
Yeah.
You know, nothing is cheap. Even for you or I to go and buy a home shirt. I mean, I haven't bought one, but whatever. But I think they're about 120 quid, aren't they?
Yeah, around that mark. Around that mark. It's I think the kids are like sort of 75 quid. I mean, I looked up because I don't think I'm going to go to the Liverpool game. And I got a mate who wanted to go, and he said, "How much the tickets?" I looked up at the season ticket. I said, "As a category, where I sit, it's 90 each." And like, what, 180 quid for two? I said, "Yeah, that's what it costs." I mean, I'm sure the seats on the halfway line are season tickets are even more there.
I'm not so sure it's a thing about things going up, because obviously that's life. I mean, you know, things are going up, prices are going up everywhere on everything, but. It's that we're actually getting less for our money. I mean, Darren will tell you. Darren, do you remember when we started in that lounge, the desserts were something you got out of, you know, Egon Rone. I mean, it was like coming out of Nobu. I mean, it was, you know, now you get a cookie, like a Starbucks cookie. I mean, it's, I know a lot of fans are going to be saying, well, you know, you're lucky to even get that, but you know they cost a lot of money, and obviously we're getting less football. You know, there's no European football this year. You know, as well as the lack of success.
So when you have a premium one, that includes all games, including the European games.
Yes.
Yeah. Every first team game. Yeah.
Wow.
But you know, we have no Carabao Cup this year, and we have no European games. So now that. The value of that has become far less. So they're
saving a lot on food on quite a few games and staffing.
Yes.
So they're saving a lot of money. Bizarre. Yeah. I know they're losing out on the match receipts, but
Well, I'm in that industry as well. I mean, the bottom line is since COVID, you know, there has been an enormous surge and burst in people wanting to be at live events, obviously, being shut away for so long. So clubs are, in fact, I'm going to give you an interesting thing here. We looked at a box for Tottenham this season and a box for Arsenal, and Arsenal had two boxes available and Spurs had nothing.
Right.
And Arsenal are in the Champions League. They could nearly all, you know, they were going for the title last year. You know, they're on the up and up. And yet Spurs was, you know, it was that they're not just reliant on Spurs. You know, they've got the NFL. They've got Beyonce this summer. You know, the other concerts. They've got the F1 thing downstairs. I mean, there's more to Spurs now. So it kind of means that being part of this means that you're part of a bigger project, as we know. But if you're just a Spurs fan, you don't like NFL. I mean, I like NFL. I like concerts. So, there's a lot of value being around this stadium. You know, you're just a Spurs fan who wants to take his son and whatever. It's or daughter. You know, it can become like you're getting less for your money, for your buck.
Yeah. Darren, what do you think, though, about... The improvements? Obviously, Van Aven's come in. It was a decent transfer window. A lot of fans kind of thought another centre-back would short. There was talk the whole time, we'd get two centre-backs. We didn't. Kane, well, certainly not replaced like for like. Obviously, Johnson's coming from Forest, who's another kind of can play anywhere along the top. What was your feelings? Did you think this manager was given enough initially?
Well, I think actually... the players that are starting to develop are the ones that the recently deposed sporting director did quite well. Onuji, the fullback, looks like a great player. Basuma looks like a good player. One thing that is so vitally important in the Premier League is pace, which we were seriously lacking. Brendan Johnson, you see, I'm not 100% convinced by one certain player who I think had a good 6 months under Conte. And I'm not yet convinced by Dejan Kulusevski. So I think maybe Johnson's might play in that position. But pace is important. you know, so important. And I think we've got that now, whereas the past two or three seasons, we didn't really have a lot of pace. Yeah, I haven't seen enough of a Mickey Van Event. All I know is he's our second top scorer with two own goals, isn't he?
Well, Kulusevski's young, as we know.
23 or something.
Yes, I mean, personally, I like him. He's frightening to defend against. I mean, he commits you. He goes inside, outside. I just think if you're going to sign the England's best striker, you know, the best striker in our history, there has to be some kind of an effort to bring in someone of some kind of, you know, prestige, isn't there? I mean, it looks to me like sold our best player in our history, or, you know, goal scorer. And now we're trying to shuffle the pack a bit and see if we can kind of fill in the holes. I mean, it's a bit Tottenham-y. It's a bit Spursy, isn't it? I mean, come on. Kane's gone. Like, okay, the transfer window's gone. Are we looking at Tony or someone, the next England striker? Are we looking at someone?
Well, he's banned till January, isn't he?
Well, January window. Yeah. And are we going in for Tony? I mean, are we looking at a top striker from Europe? I mean, are we looking to get those 20, 30 goals secure? Or are we saying Son will probably do it?
Well, this is it. This is exactly right. I think now Son's got that chance down the middle now. I've heard that Tony could be coming in January. But again, Tottenham, they're going to see what the players are doing now.
Well, we'll never bet on it.
It's good enough.
Well, no, but I'll tell you one thing. The time to buy Ivan Tony was in this transfer window at a reduced price. Because what will happen in January is if one of the big four clubs have an injury or aren't doing well, they will pay more money.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it. Because the striker is the hardest one to buy. Now, the argument might be, we've now got three players who can score the goals rather than just one. Maybe. I don't know. But personally, if you're going to go for Ivan Tony and you're not in the Champions League, then why not do a deal now? Show your faith in the fella.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. You know, and also, you know, I know they've got hope. This Phillips from Blackburn, who's a sort of 19-year-old centre-back, but with Romero possibly injured, you're now looking back. Obviously, now Tanganga's gone, Sanchez's gone. You've now got Phillips and Eric Dier. Now, Eric Dier hasn't been in a matchday squad yet. Are you surprised by that, Rob, that the experienced players there, you know, Dier was very much Conte's man, and there was apparently the group of Lloris and Dier and Kane. Have you interested to see effectively all three now sort of gone at the moment anyway?
Yeah, because it's timing, isn't it? And obviously, this is one of the parts of being an expert in the transfer windows. And the great teams, again, the great teams do well in these transfer windows. Brian Clough, if you keep replaying the tapes, it was all about buying good players. He didn't talk about his coaching. It was, you know, when he bought Trevor France, he got Peter Shilton. You know, he went and got the spine of the team. Our spine at the moment, the spine of the team in history of football has always got to be, and that's got to be great. All great teams have a great spine. And at the moment, centre-back, keeper's new, looks all right. Centre-back, not quite there yet, are we? Midfield, Bissouma, if he carries on like this, will be, and we haven't got Harry Kane anymore. So I don't think our spine is where it needs to be. The spine of this team, we need an absolute world-class centre-back, and we need a world-class forward. Now, if you're saying Son's the forward, okay, we'll go, I'll buy that, okay? And I'll buy Bissouma. I'll buy him in centre midfield if you want, or Bentancur when he comes back, but I'm okay with him. But at the moment, keeper and centre-back, it's not world-class, is it? It's not international class, apart from Romero, obviously Romero is, but you need two of them. I mean, you can't rely on one.
Yeah. Darren, do you agree with Rob there again?
Oh, I can't believe what is happening tonight.
I know.
Have you been? Is it hot out there, Rob? Have you been in the sun or sunny?
Well, I'm just trying to get in a heady. He disagrees with me, and I don't disagree with him. You see,
because
we get along.
Mate,
when I speak first, we get. Oh no, it's the other way around, isn't it?
Yeah, finally.
When he speaks first, I disagree.
60-odd years of life, you're finally talking some sense. I mean, it's quite unbelievable.
Mike, technically got this right tonight. He's making me speak first and you come second. But let's spin it around, Mike, because I'd like to follow Brockman now in the next part of the show.
I think we have. You've got to remember we've got Bentancur to come back.
Yes. Yeah.
Him to come back. So I think we're right in midfield. You know, we got to get over now this whole Harry Kane thing.
Well, it's gone.
It's over. You know, every club we move on from every player. Every club loses them, and maybe now we're more of a team than we were when we had Harry Kane. Yeah, I mean, I can promise you one thing. I can guarantee you one thing. We will not win any fewer trophies in the next 10 years than we won in the last 10 years with Harry Kane. That I can promise you.
Yeah. Absolutely right. Well, look, gentlemen, it's been a great show. It's been a very positive, upbeat show. Thanks for coming on. Next week, we have on the show, we've got a couple of writers. Dan Friedman has got a new book out. Dan's back. Paolo Hewitt returns on the show, and marketing book guru Jay Pushkin returns. That's next week on the Spurs Show. Don't forget Patreon if you want to get a daily news show every single day at midday. Drops into your inbox with all the latest going on at Tottenham. Check that out. And also, it'd be lovely to see some of you down in central London on Wednesday, September the 27th, with that great night coming up with Gary Mabbutt. Hopefully join us then. Rob, thank you so much for joining us. Good luck in Saudi. Darren, thank you for coming along tonight. Thank you for everyone at home. Until next time, come on, you Spurs. If you want to advertise on or sponsor this show, check us out at playbackmedia.co.uk.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.